Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But I'm a creep. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Right now in Milwaukee, 83 and sunny, high of 94, low of 71. There is an extreme heat warning, so make sure to be careful out there. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Also, Wade versus Diener is back for year three. Join NBA stars Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener on June 27th for the Champions for Literacy celebration as they make an impact in Milwaukee and at Marquette. Tickets on sale at wadevsdiener.givesmart.com. Again, wadevsdiener.givesmart.com. Right now, we are being joined by the one, the only Eli Berkovitz. Find him on the Pack-A-Day podcast, packreport.com. You can find him on social media at bookofeli_NFL. Eli, great to be chatting with you. How the heck was your weekend and how are you doing?
I am doing good. The weekend, I think like everyone else in the Midwest, I was trying to avoid melting, quite literally, just walking around outside. It's been as hot as I can remember, which anyone who hears me on the Pack-A-Day podcast knows is not my favorite part of the year, but it's been good. You know, it's been fun in the summer, as you know, Andy. You kind of have more time to get into the weeds a little bit with Packers and looking at things that during the season you don't really have the time to focus on. So I always like the summer for those kind of nerdier, in-depth kind of breakdowns of the Packers.
And we are certainly here completely for that. And we did one of those with second year jumps just a minute ago, which is a fun conversation to have and just looking if they're real or not, which was fun, I know, for me to kind of go back and look at and see which of these players actually took jumps, which of them actually had sophomore slumps, and what we can kind of expect from this rookie class moving forward. Before we kind of jump into some of the nerdier things, you had a fun opportunity to go and attend Jaden Reed's celebrity/charity basketball game this past week. Tell us about that. You know, which Packers were playing, who stood out, how did Jaden Reed look? Because I know he's been a little bit banged up with some injury issues. So yeah, tell us all about it.
Yeah, Jaden Reed from Chicago. So he had a kind of, like you said, a celebrity kind of charity basketball game here in Chicago. And it was a really, really nice event. I mean, first off, just seeing all the Packers players that were there, you had Jaden Reed, Josh Jacobs, Dontavian Wicks, Mecole Hardman, Tucker Kraft, and Keyshawn Nixon were supposed to be there. I didn't see them. They may have been there. I didn't see them. But in terms of who played, you had Reed and Jacobs on one team. Mecole Hardman was on the other team. It was actually Greg Newsome, the Cleveland Browns cornerback, was also playing. I know there's Right, Newsome, there were some connections to Newsome and the Packers, I feel like, for a little bit at some point, either last year or 2 years ago. But either way, going into the game, I think, like, maybe not any Packer fan, but being the kind of fan that I am, like, my main concern was like, all right, guys, take it easy. Nobody get hurt. Don't roll an ankle. Like, that's really, like, the whole game. I'm just like, if anyone's on a fast break, I'm like, just let them go. Don't really play hard defense. Like, let's just get out of this game. So I'm happy to report that everyone did leave that game perfectly clean. But I got to say, I mean, these guys can ball. Like, straight up, Jaden Reed, incredible ball handling skills, a good shot, Josh Jacobs took it a little more easy. He was more shooting outside threes, but when he was shooting them, he was looking pretty good. And Mecole Hardman, definitely also a very good player. Overall, it was, you know, it was really good basketball. I mean, it was 110 to like 108 or something, which, okay, you know, in a kind of a pickup, you know, non-semi-professional game, you never know what it's really going to look like. You don't know if it's going to be a good game in general. Jaden Reed had a buzzer beater opportunity at the end of the game to win it. Unfortunately, did not go in. They went to overtime and ended up losing. But it was a great game. It was cool to meet. I met Jacobs, Wicks, Reed, us. Very shortly met Hardman, and all of them were just great guys, and, you know, gave all the fans time, spent a lot of time with the kids. So it was cool to just see them up close in person and on a more personal level.
Just another example, Jaden Reed can't come through in the clutch. I'm just kidding. That's it's an awesome event that he put on, and it's really fun to see those players out there. And like you said, the biggest thing from a Packers standpoint is thankfully nobody got hurt. And it's just great to see that Jaden Reed was able to play, because I know he had a flag football, or not a flag football, just like a football camp that he put on for kids the week before. And, you know, the announcement at the end, my kids both attended, the announcement at the end was that Jaden Reed had to leave because he had to go do rehab at Lambeau Field after and get, you know, some work done. So, and you could tell he was maybe walking a little bit more gingerly. So the fact that he was able to get out there and actually play is great to see. And hopefully that means that he's going to be good to go for training camp. We're being joined by Eli Berkovitz, Packaday Podcast, PackerReport.com. You can find him on social media at @BookofEli_NFL. Eli, I was going through some of the things that you have been looking at and kind of posting on your social media page. One of the things that you posted about was the defensive tackles and the defensive ends, and more specifically, their run defense this past year. And I think a lot of things get discussed about this Packers defense, about Jeff Hafley and just the Packers in general from this past year and some of the things that they did. One of the things I don't think gets enough credit is how improved that they were in run defense. It was a night and day difference with Jeff Hafley, with really the same personnel up front. They didn't really change anything at all. Edgerrin Cooper, yes, was a change, but even when Cooper wasn't out there, the run defense was still stellar. And I don't think the defensive ends and defensive tackles specifically get enough credit for the work that they put in, because they were fantastic against the run and it was a night and day difference.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we saw was the guys were just sticking to their assignments. They were staying in their gaps. They weren't getting ahead of themselves and then leaving huge holes in the middle of the defensive line to just run through. And like you said, it made a huge difference. The tweet you're referencing, I was just kind of, you know, like I said, it's the summer, kind of bored, like just looking around at different things. And it stuck out to me that according to ESPN's run stop win rate, Rashawn Gary and TJ Slayton were number one in their respective positions at the edge and defensive tackle group. Obviously, Slayton no longer a Packer, you know, kind of unfortunate for what he brought to the team. But yeah, I mean, looking at what they did last year, seventh on total rush yards allowed. That's a huge improvement from where we were. Third in yards per carry, which, you know, a lot of, you know, analytics nerds are big, you know, yards per carry guys. So holding them that well was great. They were top 10 in touchdowns. Also great at like explosive runs. I feel like all the time with the Packers, even if maybe we were able to slow down a running back, there would be like one or two runs at least every game where it's like, oh, well, no one's even close. That guy's gone for 27 yards, 35 yards. Last year, they only gave up 9 20 plus yard runs the entire season. That's really good. I think it was seventh in the NFL. So in general, Jeff Hafley clearly made a huge impact on that run defense. And the hope obviously is year two, that stays the same and we see a little bit more pass rush. But even still, right, I mean, finishing eighth in sacks, it's obviously not bad. It's a little skewed based on a couple huge sack production games. But overall, clearly Hafley has made a huge difference for this front seven.
Yeah, I think one of the areas they did clearly have new personnel as well was that safety room, and adding Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, three players that do a great job against the run, and limiting some of those explosive plays was one thing on the back end that I think you could point to of, like you said, you just saw those players playing the safety role safe and making sure that they weren't allowing those explosive runs to happen. If you did get 10 or 12 yards, that's where it was going to stop, and those guys were going to make that play to limit it to make sure that it wasn't one of those 40, 60, 80 yard explosive plays for a touchdown. You did mention a name though that I think is interesting, and that's TJ Slayton. The Packers did not lose that much this offseason in free agency that's super noteworthy. They did lose their biggest defensive tackle in TJ Slayton. I'm curious, Eli, you mentioned he was definitely a big piece of their run defense. Do you feel like they adequately replaced him? They go and get Warren Brinson in the fifth round. Nasir Stackhouse is a player that they picked up as an undrafted free agent, but they didn't do a whole heck of a lot else on the interior of the defensive line. Colby Wooden put on some weight. There's some thought that he might be able to play a little bit of nose tackle, but how do you feel about potentially replacing TJ Slayton, who maybe isn't the biggest name in the world, but certainly did have an impact on run defense?
Yeah, I feel like kind of like what is a money ball, right? You got to replace them in the aggregate. I don't think you're going to have one guy come in and maybe do what TJ Slayton did. But I did, specifically write down Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse as kind of two guys. I mean, look, Stackhouse is undrafted free agent. You know, he's not some sort of lock to make the roster. But I do think in terms of undrafted free agents, I think most Packer fans feel like he certainly has a shot. He was a good college player for a great Georgia defense. So if you get both of those guys getting just some playing time and hoping that they can develop into that kind of run stuffing nose tackle, but there's no doubt that there is, it's going to be a question mark. You're going to have to hope either a rookie or a veteran who hasn't necessarily shown that ability shows that ability, whether it's, like you said, Wooden, or, I mean, Carl Brooks really isn't that guy. Kenny Clark is, you know, kind of always been more of a pass rushing defensive tackle, not necessarily the stereotypical size of a nose tackle. So it's going to be interesting to see who steps up, who they rely on. But if I had to put my money on any guys, it would have to be Brinson and Stackhouse. I hope that at least one of the two can separate themselves and really become a big piece of the interior of the defensive line.
Yeah, I think that's going to have to be the case. Maybe Clark and Wooden certainly pitching in there as well. And like you said, just kind of hoping that it holds up in the aggregate. And if there is anything I trust at the moment, I trust Jeff Hafley to figure it out, get the right pieces in the right spots, and hopefully have another really sound season in run defense. On the flip side, from running the ball, as we talked to Eli Berkovitz, Packaday Podcast and PackerReport.com, you had posted some highlights out there from Marshawn Lloyd back in his college days recently. And I know a lot of people are very excited about what he can potentially bring to the table in year two if he can stay healthy. He was out there at minicamp, looks good. He looks still very explosive. I'm certainly excited as well. But when you kind of went back and looked at some of the college stuff, what did you feel he could potentially bring in this upcoming 2025 campaign?
I think he's kind of the perfect like change of pace back for a guy like Josh Jacobs, where, you know, there are some running backs that need like 12 to 15 carries a game to really make an impact on a game. I think Marshawn Lloyd's the kind of guy who could get 6 to 8 carries in a game and make a big impact. In college, in his final year, he averaged 7.1 yards per carry. Now, that's college, but still, that's an absurd number. That, like, if you're handing the ball off and getting 6-7 yards every time, that's basically the best running back that's ever played. So I'm not expecting that number to hold up, but like I said, if you only give him 5 to 8 kind of carries a game, but he breaks one of those for a 35-yard plus gain or whatever it is, that's the kind of thing that a backup running back brings to an offense. I also think, even though he wasn't utilized a ton at USC in the passing game, I think that was more of a product of the college game of that offense. I think he certainly could be used in the passing game in the NFL. And just like with running the ball, you throw him a screen 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage, he could turn that into a 40-yard gain downfield. He's just, to me, like, I love Emmanuel Wilson. I think Chris Brooks showed a lot of great stuff last year. But if you want to talk about your stereotypical change of pace back, that's Marshawn Lloyd. And I'm very excited to see what he can finally do at full strength and fully healthy.
I really, like you said, I really like Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks as well. When Josh Jacobs would be out, it would still feel like, oh, Josh Jacobs is out on this play. And I think Marshawn Lloyd has the ability to change that. It'd be like, oh, Josh Jacobs, oh, Marshawn Lloyd's in though. Let's see. Let's see if he can rip off one of these big runs, because he has the ability to do so. Two big things for Lloyd: going to be holding onto the football, something that was definitely a struggle for him in college, and then pass protection. If he can get those two things down, I think he has the opportunity to see the field a decent amount. It just gives Green Bay another playmaker, another weapon within the offense. And the more guys that you can have that just put the ball in their hands and they can do do some of the heavy lifting so that your quarterback doesn't have to do so much of it, the better your offense is going to be. And I certainly think Marshawn Lloyd has that ability as well. Speaking of somebody who has that ability, we know that Christian Watson has that playmaking ability and can do some of that heavy lifting and is so important to this offense, even when he's not getting the ball, just to be able to stretch the field and take some eyes down with him so that it opens things underneath for a lot of other players. We saw him doing a little bit of running on his Instagram account this past week, and he certainly looks good for what, at this point, coming off a pretty significant ACL and MCL injury. A doctor, I am not, Eli. I can pretend to be a lot of things from an analysis standpoint. Anything medically related, I cannot. But just seeing him doing any sort of running was certainly a positive in my opinion. And of course, we heard Matt LaFleur say a couple weeks ago that he was ahead of schedule and that he looked outstanding. These seem to be very positive signs for Christian Watson so far.
Yeah, I mean, you have a guy tear his ACL in week 18 of the NFL season. At least for me, I'm basically not expecting him to be moving around the earliest, maybe training camp, like a little with the rehab group on the side, but probably not really practicing until like early, like week 4 to 6 area. Like he starts practicing, ramps up a little, and maybe you're back by week 8 to 10 if you're lucky. Like that could be early. A lot of guys, you tear your ACL week 18, there are guys that don't even play the next year. Like it's not a guarantee you're back for the next year. Usually it's close to a full year, but Christian Watson, again, in the nicest way possible, is clearly just a kind of freak of nature. I mean, I remember when I interviewed his father, shortly after, I think, his rookie season, and he was telling me some of the stories about him growing up where it's just like this guy was different. Like the way he moved, the way he was growing, just the whole thing. And his other sons are athletes as well, but there was something about Christian that just set him apart. And I think we see that. You know, it was only one clip, it was one route, but the guy's... It was, I think, less than 6 months removed from a torn ACL. And he was running, not full speed, but he was running fast. He was running hard, and it looked good. So I think in my head, like my timeline was like week 10 to 13, maybe, that he comes back. I'm kind of bumping that up now to like week 7 to 10, maybe. Like maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, but he looks really good for someone coming off a torn ACL that late in the season.
Yeah, I think the big thing is, again, just that it looks good. And again, whatever the timeline ends up being, the timeline ends up being. But it certainly seems that he, and as Matt LaFleur said, is ahead of schedule. And I'll take any positive news when it comes to Christian Watson that I can take, because, again, he can be such an important piece within this offense. And just some of the ideas of getting like Christian Watson and Matthew Golden out there at the same time, and just some of that speed is very enticing as well. So hopefully we're able to see some of that. And hopefully when Christian does come back, he looks like Christian, not like 80% of Christian or anything like that. His speed is so important to his game, and hopefully he has the ability to play exactly like he did prior to that injury. All right, before we get you out of here, Eli, a couple quick ones. First of all, the offensive tackles, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, potential contract extensions. Of course, Sean Ryan ends up being a free agent as well this upcoming offseason. So how are you going to prioritize these offensive linemen in Green Bay? And how would you go about doing this if you were the Packers general manager?
It's going to be very interesting because you're not even just talking about Tom and Walker. You got to factor in Jordan Morgan and Anthony Belton. At least I think you do. These are guys that you drafted with pretty premium picks, Morgan for sure. And if they had both end up being good NFL guards, I don't think anyone's going to like cry about it, but I think people do want to see them play. And if all of a sudden you re-sign Walker and you re-sign Tom, like where are they going to play? Like, let's just say they maybe Ryan walks, so you have an open guard spot, but it's going to be very interesting to see. But in terms of just the tackles, I think you got to prioritize Tom. I don't think that's some sort of hot take. He's one of the best tackles in the NFL. He needs to be at the top of the list. And if you could manage to get Rashid Walker back, like, I'm not really going to complain, but I just think you're going to end up tying a ton of money up in your tackles when you just drafted two tackles, at least college tackles, pretty early in the draft. So for me, I'm really focusing on Tom. If you could manage to get Walker at like a cheap deal and you really want him back, I'm not going to go nuts over it, but I do think that they can afford potentially to let Walker walk. And then play one of Morgan or Belton at left tackle. And just one last quick thing. I was kind of surprised to see that the highest paid right tackle is actually making more than the highest paid left tackle right now, which is not what I expected, but either way. Yeah, Penei Sewell over, I believe, Trent Williams at left tackle. But regardless, you got to get Tom done as soon as possible, and then everything else is just kind of gravy, because I feel like we set ourselves up in the draft through the offensive line for a little while here.
Yeah, the whole left tackle, right tackle thing has certainly changed some of the best pass rushers in the NFL, including guys like TJ Watt at left defensive end. And, you know, the blindside thing in your shotgun is certainly a little bit less than what it used to be when you were under center all the time. So definitely has evened out quite a bit, and not surprising to see that some of these right tackles are getting paid just as much as the best left tackles, or in Penei Sewell's case, even more. Before we get you out of here, Eli, last thing, Packers training camp's coming up in about a month, actually a month from today exactly. What's the number one or two things that you're going to be looking for as we get out to training camp?
It's probably going to be everyone's answer, but it's got to be Matthew Golden for me. Like, I just want to see what he can bring in, you know, full speed practices, pads, helmets, the whole deal. And I mean, also Savion Williams, like, he's someone that's so exciting and brings so much to the table that I just want to see how they're going to use him. I want to see what he looks like in an NFL offense, not in a college offense. So starting at the receiver group, I'm really excited about that. And then I'll probably say, I want to see what these cornerbacks are going to look like. Obviously, no more Jair. It's going to be a big deal to see what Nixon, Valentine, and obviously Nate Hobbs, how are they going to, where are they going to play? How are they going to play? That secondary is probably going to be the difference maker, I think, for this team, because it could either be really ugly and we could be like, wow, we need a Jair and we're kind of in a big pickle here, or they're going to step up and we'll be like, wow, okay. I mean, Valentine, that rookie season was legit. He actually has something there. Nixon, what is it?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Six games he played outside. That was for real. He can do it. And then you put Hobbs in the slot, and I think that's a good secondary right there. Then you have Javon Bullard playing a bit. So that's kind of what I'm going to look for. The speed guys, you know, the receivers and the corners.
I did a deep dive today on Nate Hobbs, if anyone wants to check that out, over on the Pack-A-Day podcast, watching every snap of his from this past year, giving him my grade for the year, and then also kind of some things that I learned about him, if anyone wants to check that out. And I think they'll feel very good about Nate Hobbs coming off of that if you end up listening to it. So make sure to check that out over on the Pack-A-Day podcast. Eli, you've got a lot of stuff cooking as well. PackerReport.com, Pack-A-Day podcast. What do you got coming up this week, and anything else you want to plug on the way out?
Yeah, just check out our Pack Report. I plan on doing kind of like a positional breakdown throughout the summer as we approach training camp. So keep an eye out for that on Pack Report. And then any other content I got going, you will see over on Twitter at BookofEli_NFL.
Make sure to give him a follow. He is phenomenal and is always putting out amazing stuff. Again, at BookofEli_NFL. Eli, always great catching up with you. I'm sure we'll do it again soon. You enjoy your hot summer day. And like I said, we'll talk very soon. All right, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Andy. Great time.
You bet. That is Eli Berkovitz, Pack-A-Day podcast, PackerReport.com. Again, find him on social media at BookofEli_NFL. This is the Pack-A-Day radio show. We got a lot more to talk about, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after this.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.